You and the universe are really the same process. You, as an organism, are an operation of the universe. The real you, though, is the whole thing. Your soul isn't in your body. Your body's in your soul. And your soul is the entire arrangement of forces constituting this universe, centered on your physical organism. So that's why the astrologer took the time and place of a person's birth and said, how are the heavens arranged around that? That's why you are, the soul is in heaven. The meaning of that, it is heaven. It's the total arrangement of cosmic forces, the total pattern. And when you wake up to that and actually feel it to be so, I assure you, it's just great. And you stop worrying. You still are sensible enough not to walk into a fire. But you get rid of that deep central anxiety, because it's like the universe has nothing to fall onto if it drops. And a fall will only be disastrous if there's a floor of concrete down below. The universe has nothing to fall onto. Everything in it is dropping. The Earth is dropping around the Sun. Just as long as there isn't a planet in the way or something like that, nothing happens. And the system as a whole, there isn't anything else. So why worry? Besides, if you disappear as an organism, great. Because if you went on too long, you get tired of yourself. And so what was a new surprise in store? The thing is a self-surprising system. That's why it goes on. When you know the future perfectly, it's already passed. You've had it. When you know the outcome of a game and it becomes certain, you cancel it and begin another one. So to know too much gets you nowhere.
The astrologer was right. When he drew a map of your soul, he drew a crude map of the universe. He drew the universe as it was at the time and place of your birth. The universe as it was, as seen from the point of view where you were born. And that was your soul. So your soul, you see, is not in your body. Your body is in your soul, because your soul is the entire network of relationships in terms of which you live. Your soul is the whole universe. But each one of us, as it were, is a different point in it. But all these points in it are the center. We can go way beyond Ptolemy and Copernicus now. And if we think that space is curved, every point of space is the center of the universe, because any point on a ball is the center of the sphere, of the surface. See, you can turn any point of a ball, and wherever you look at it, it's the center, isn't it? See? So in the same way, take a crystal ball in your hand, a crystal mirror. It's not a crystal mirror, I mean a spherical mirror. Look at it. And wherever you turn it, your face will be in the middle. So in exactly the same way, every place in the universe is the middle of the universe, from a standpoint of curved space. So we go back to an entirely new Ptolemaic view of the world, beyond Copernicus. Well, not that the Earth is the Earth is the center of the universe, but every other place is also the center of the universe. There is no absolute center. So this is an astronomical way of saying, in Sanskrit, tattvamasi, you're it. Everyone is rightly the center. You may think, my mother used to say, you're not the only pebble. But in a way, everyone is the central pebble. And the feeling that you have of being the center, which turns out into selfishness and all the sort of conflict and scrapping, is nevertheless based on something true. What we do is we misinterpret it. We don't realize that everybody else is the center too. In that sense, you're not the only pebble on the beach. You're not the only center of the universe. And yet there is only one center. And that's why, who was it? I think it was St. Bonaventure who first thought up the description or the definition of God as that circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. This is called the doctrine of the mutual interpenetration of all things and events. So it would be like those lovely drawings where you take a circle and you can play with this. It's a nice thing to play with. And you mark out 12 equal points around the circumference of the circle. Then you join every point to every other point. You get a beautiful star. And incidentally, this is the diagram of the notes of the 12 notes of the scale. Bach worked this out. And it's a lovely thing, you see, it's a beautiful star. So this is the diagram of the way it all fits together. Now, if you study that, and by study again, I mean not just think about it, but feel it out, you will find very strange thing happen. You will find that the present moment, with all its particularity in which you live and are functioning now, is exactly the same thing as anything you could possibly conceive of as eternity. You will find that your limited life, and remember what I said about limits, you have to have something to push against. Your limited life, with its frustrations and with its particular problems at this instant, is the same thing as omnipotence. And that your situation in space, it implies the infinite, the eternal. All the energy of the universe is implied in any tiny hair on your skin. It goes with it. Mutually implies, this is the point. Just as the kind of cosmos and atmosphere in which we live, my existence implies that kind of an environment, so the environment implies me, mutually. And it all goes together. Now, the only reason for saying this, you see, this is really terribly obvious, but the only reason for saying it is that people don't know it. And think instead that they don't belong, that this, I'm just, because the parents put down the children and said, little children should be seen and not heard. You don't belong here. Like I read the other day in some paper, some young person was addressing a girl and saying, he was trying to make love to her. He was trying to woo her. And she said, you won't be friends with me because you say I don't like your personality. But he said, you don't have to have a personality. A personality is something you had to put on because your mother didn't love you. And you had to make up to her. Really, you don't need a personality because you're the essential thing, you see? and a personality is just a way of performing to ingratiate yourself. Well, we all do it because we put on personalities when we act like clowns and entertain the audience, put on masks, funny faces. But really and truly, the mask covers the one self that we all have, and we all know it. Only, just like black and white, we are pretending to be as different as possible while remaining the same. What there is and all that there is. You know, it's interesting that in a view of the universe, which sees space as curved, imagine for a moment this is not quite correct, but that all objects in space are on the surface of a sphere. Then you will see at once that every point on the surface of a sphere can be regarded as the center of the surface. Where is the central point of the surface of a sphere? Anywhere. So in this way, we can legitimately regard every point in this universe as being the center of the whole thing. And it's in this multi-centered sense that every eye which looks around and sees the world as something that spins around you and you're the axis
You're quite correct. It does. But you know how it is when you hold in your hand a gyroscope. Isn't it? It always feels alive, doesn't it? Because it surprises you. It wants to move in a direction which you didn't predict. And that movement of the gyroscope that you hold, that seems to be against you, is the movement in life we call other, or what happens to us. When we feel, on the other hand, that I am moving the gyroscope in the direction I want it to go, that's what we call self, that's what we call voluntary. And you can't possibly know the one without the other. You don't know what you mean by self unless you know what you mean by other. And you don't know what you mean by the voluntary, what I want to happen, except in contrast and play against the involuntary, what happens to me.